gets back home tonight. And the clock just starts right over, and the walls come closing in, and the bathroom dips and then twirls, and your eyes get sunken in so deeply you can't recognize the face you see so easily. No one gets back home tonight.
Hey, we're live. Are we live? We're live, right?
Live?
Yeah, we're live.
Everybody.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Hi, hi.
Hi, hi.
Hello.
I'm finding the chat.
Jess is finding the chat. Up. Welcome back. Oh, no. We got some cross chatter.
Okay, who wants to do the introduction?
I botched mine, so you go right ahead.
All right, welcome in, everybody. We are live again. Welcome to our live show on the Transpotting Podcast. We are absolutely chaos as ever. This is your gal, Samara.
This is your other gal, Riv.
And I'm Jess. How is everybody today?
Oh my gosh, that was... and I'm Jess.
Why is it always like pulling teeth?
You know what that almost reminded me of, Jess, is have you ever seen the SNL skit where it's got like the four women and it's like they go through it and it's like, and I'm Dolores. And that kind of is what it reminded me of.
It works. It works. I try to add a little awkward just right from the jump so we just get a little bumpy.
Yep, absolutely. No, I'm here for it. I am so
always making sure we start off on the wrong foot. I love it. Pay raise for you.
It's great.
It's great. It
sounds like it's time for an addendum.
Yes. Yes, an addendum. An addendum, if you will.
You guys do the intros. I'm doing the spamming of the socials.
We literally did the intros already. Okay. Hi. Welcome to December. It's December already. It's December 7th, the time of this recording. It will not be the same time when you hear it if you are listening on the non-stream. If you aren't listening to the stream, why aren't you listening to the stream? Why aren't you listening to the stream? Watching, listening, waiting, watching again. Anyway, why aren't you? You should. It's stupid. And we're all here doing stupid shit. The end.
There you go.
That's my plug.
Love it. I have a question about your outfit, Riv. That's a very fancy outfit.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Can you? Yes. That was great to get a little more.
Okay. A little more.
You want a little more? There you go.
Yeah. It's more like
more the full.
Kind of, yeah, it's a little tank. Yeah. Little tank dress. You know, yeah. A little tank dress with a little vest.
What's going on? Nice.
Super cute.
Thanks. It is often my date night outfit. So
nice.
It's good enough for dates. Good enough for the stream. You know.
Hey, there you go.
That's what I always say.
All right. Perfect. I'm caught up. Well, let's start with the easy question of how's everybody doing?
Oh, yes. The easy question. That's
the easy question.
Easy one.
It's so easy. You just. Yeah. How's everybody doing? How are you feeling? Oh, holy shit.
That noise.
It's been a wild few weeks, honestly.
It has been.
Yeah. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I had a good day today. Yeah. But yeah, I feel like this, like, I don't know, this is like, I feel like this time of year is always a little exciting, and I feel like on all the levels, things have just been very exciting, mostly in very frightening ways, but generally, yes, today, great.
Let me ask you this. Are you you're talking about this time of the year. Are you like a big festive person, like setting up like Christmas tree and, you know, going all out on the decorations and.
Yeah, we decorate. We do the Christmas thing. We decorate. We also celebrate Hanukkah here. So we do Christmaka. So we have a smattering of.
Yes.
Yeah. Regular Christmas and. Hanukkah stuff all mashed together. Make sure there's no segregation of the different holidays
stuff.
There. There's like, yeah, I got like...
Kwanzaa?
We don't celebrate Kwanzaa, although we do sometimes learn about it, but no. But yeah, so we got all festive up a little bit, you know, around what we do. It was cool. Thanksgiving too, you know, was like, that's always just very, I don't know. I just feel like the holidays are still a very mixed feelings time, you know, but yes,
yeah.
Yes. I love the decor, for the very specific period of December. And then it's got to go away again. What about you?
It's just got to go.
Yeah. It's got to go away again.
Let's jump to Riv first. Riv, how you doing?
How am I doing? Oh, the past week's been a hell of a year, but today was good. Today was a very good day. Today was a very, very good day so far. Yeah. Stream's going to be great. I can already feel it. Because we're all here and we're all great.
I'm like, where are you going with this?
I don't know. Listen, okay. Yeah, work's been, I always complain. Work's been really busy and it just doesn't let up. It doesn't let up. And I'm a very ambitious girl. So I have a lot of things I do and push myself to do throughout the week in managing the podcast. And like, I'm doing some songwriting in the background as well. And all on top of I'm hiring someone new at work already, again, during the holidays. And with 1,000 different projects, I'm spinning all the plates in the world and being short-staffed. Oh. Anyway, sometimes being a boss lady is not all it's cracked up to be. This is one of those months. That's how it's going.
And same question as Jess. Are you a big, like, you know, purveyor of the holidays? Or do you get into Christmas spirit?
I celebrate Yule. So I do enjoy very wintry decorations. I don't really enjoy Christmassy decorations. Not a big Christmas fan, not a big Christmas song fan. But I do enjoy the giving and receiving of gifts because who doesn't? It's great. You don't like getting or giving gifts?
No.
Let me look at your contract again.
What the fuck? Is Yule the pagan side of the holiday? Just curious.
Yeah, Yule is going to be the definitely the pagan side of things.
The witchy side.
Worshipping the winter. Witchy side of the winter solstice. So, you know.
I love that. I love
yeah,
that.
I
so
do
much.
Still enjoy decorating trees. I enjoy little pine wreaths and stuff. I'm pining over one right now, actually. I'm really cute when I'm looking at somewhere I want to buy. Like, I'm such a freaking old lady. Can't wait till I can get that pine wreath hanging on my door.
I mean, you can always decorate.
True, I'm a sucker for that stuff.
You can always decorate the pine tree or the pine wreath or whatever, however you want. I mean, it doesn't have to mm-hmm. be, you know, Christmassy. It could be witchy.
Witchy, wintry, just cozy. I like cozy stuff.
Yeah.
It's great. Yeah. I'm not going to yuck anyone's yum.
Hell no.
But I like what I like. Yeah.
Love that. I mean, Jess asked it earlier, but I'll respond. I'm doing great. I'm doing amazing. I'm busy as ever. I feel like I've not actually stopped and it's starting to get to me. It's awesome. I love it. I had like 5 appointments this weekend and it's been, I'm done, but I'm doing great. But no, I don't like the giving or getting of gifts. It gives me so much anxiety. It gives me so much just like tension because I do that thing of like, you know, oh, you're getting me a gift. Okay, that means I have to give you a gift. And when I open your gift, like, are you going to be happy with my gift? And how is the value trade of the gifts? And are you going to be disappointed? What kind of reaction are you expecting from me? Like, I go through this entire process and it's exhausting.
Sure sounds neurospicy to me.
Nah, really?
This whole time I'm like, tell me you're autistic without telling me you're autistic. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. That makes sense. By the way, is this the episode where we start to like talk about our winter holiday trauma?
Are we going to go into
hangups?
That?
Holiday hangups, we can call it.
Well, holiday hangups episode. Impromptu even?
I don't know.
Mm.
Impromptu. I never do that. It's always planned.
All of it. Well,
we want to dive into the traumas.
Maybe not trauma, but hangups. I don't know.
We could just give hang up examples, you know, not even getting into all the, like this one from Samara. Very good one.
That's an example.
You know, holiday hang up.
Well, since you're already going, Jess, keep going.
What's my holiday hang up? Oh, man. Well, I mean, okay. Then this is tricky, but it's the tree. It is the tree. I don't like, I think it's, I mean, like, I like the smell. Okay. And I like the look of it. And the whole experience of like going to get it is like a whole thing, you know, the whole family experience, like, and I have even like fond memories of that and like all that, you know, The gifts around it are really fun. The whole experience of the ornament. So it's like, it's such a big experience. I don't have a problem with any of that part of it. But what I do have a problem with is like just the, I just think it doesn't, and I know it's like an even an industry and stuff and farming, which is like not the worst industry to sustain. It's even like a domestic industry. But I just think it's really ridiculous that we as a culture are like, we're going to all, everybody's family and their own nuclear family house and their own little building is going to go every year and as a family ceremoniously kill a tree. Like, you know,
yep.
We're going to take it home.
We're going to saw a tree.
And we're going to put its corpse in the living room and we're going to decorate it. And we're going to be so happy around it and talk about how much we love each other. And we're going to take vacation around it. And we're going to have, like, give gifts around it. And then at the end, we're going to take all our pretty stuff away from it. And we're going to toss that shit on the curb. You know? And, like,
this just got so dark so fast.
Just, like, think it's ridiculous. Like,
I love it. Like, I love that outlook.
It's like, that doesn't really make sense. Like, why do we do that? You know, like, why are we doing that to all these trees? Like, is that how we're, like, what the fuck? So anyway, I'll be able to say, we have a fake tree.
Oh, okay.
We have a fake tree.
So you found a workaround. No,
this is like, it bothers me so much. Okay. Even though I love this as a kid, and even though I love the smell, I was like, years ago, my wife and I were like, because I was just every year, I just like had this whole like fit about it. I was like, this is ridiculous. What the fuck are we doing? Why are we participating in this? Anyway, yeah. We don't partake in the actual real tree thing. And it doesn't, it's like one, like everyone, like I have a moment every year where I'm like, wow, real tree would be really nice, you know? But it's more, it's like the smell. And like we like buy a wreath or like a garland or something and we like have the smell with something else. And that's how we do, you know. I know there are other ways of like not necessarily killing the tree, but I just think that, I don't know. It's just like a little bit like, it's just so capitalistic and wasteful. And I don't know. Anyway, that's my holiday rant.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. It just, I mean, you could always buy one of those little pine scent things and, you know, hang them on your fake tree.
I should try that. Yeah. Cause it's a lovely smell.
It's a great smell.
Yeah.
If you get the car version too, it'd be like shaped like a tree. So it'd be like a tree on a tree.
Quick.
It'd be super adorable.
Quick bunny trail, because I have a great bunny trail off of that. So, you know, when you go into like all these high-end hotels and resorts and things like that, maybe you don't, but you know, have you ever?
Yes, been... I go into high-end hotels
all the time.
Okay,
I know you're in the hospitality business, so I understand.
I'm in the hospitality business, so I'm used to this. Anyways,
yes.
So when you go in, and you know how there's like that smell or that aroma or something like that, they actually go out and they get all these little scent vials, and they pick what scent the hotel is going to be at any given time. And then they filter that through the air conditioning system. And that's how they do it. And it's hilarious to do, because that whole process, the hotel I used to work at, actually, like, you know, when they were about to go through renovations, they decided, you know, okay, here's the four smells. Everybody vote on which one you like best. And I'm not kidding you. We had to go and sniff four vials and pick which one we like the best. It's ridiculous. Anyways, Riv, your trauma or horror or
my,
your...
Oh, my hang-up, my holiday hang-up. We're not doing trauma. We're not bummers here. Maybe I am. Oh, God, I can't. There's so many. There's really so many. I've been a Scrooge for so long, just because I've got so many hangups about Christmas in particular. And I think my top one's gonna be holiday music. Yes. Can we stop pumping it 100% holiday music through all of the speakers at every single store ever? Oh, consumerism.
Goodbye.
Yeah, goodbye. Bye. Listen to Mariah Carey. Mariah wants you to buy it.
Absolutely. And I mean, even fun fact, like the whole idea about this whole buy and, you know, consumerism and things like that. Like, I was talking to my boss the other day, and it's like, we're talking about Black Friday. Because, you know, being in the hotel industry, like, we do a Black Friday sale. And Black Friday isn't what it used to be. And it drives me absolutely insane.
What do you mean by that?
So Black Friday used to be the one day you go in, you get the, you know, Black Friday sale on Black Friday. That's it. There's no other options. Now it's Black Friday is all week long. Cyber Monday is all week long. Boxing Week sale. You know, it's all about all this time to do it. And it's not a, and, you know, there's the, they used to do like all these door crashers and, you know, you'd go in and you would see people fighting over the different things. Do I miss the fighting? No. But do I miss, like, you know, getting to go in and see like these huge sales? Absolutely. And it's like, you don't get that any. Please discuss. Don't leave me hanging.
Please discuss. I'm thinking.
I mean, I feel like part of that, I wonder how, I mean, on the one hand, I feel like part of the shift in like the promotion stuff is the transition that we had from, like, I don't know how, whether this was the same in Canada, but like the death of malls in America, because I think that I feel like the mall culture that like I grew up in was like, that was a lot of that Black Friday stuff was around. It's like you had the malls and the big boxes and everybody was buying from that. And we were making, you know, like all these companies that the small companies that actually owned all those stores, a bunch of money, but like the small number of companies, I mean, that actually owned all those stores, a bunch of money. But like, I feel like it also was the shift between, I mean, that happened way before the pandemic. But I feel like once we shifted more into online shopping, and especially after the pandemic, when like it almost went like almost everything went online. And now we're like back to this place where a lot of things are online, but like there's like kind of a resurgence of, in some places, like in-person store stuff. But at least in the US, it's certainly not like, it's not the same as like a lot of the malls are still done. And I don't know. I feel like part of that is like that whole shifting of consumer, how consumer culture has shifted. And once you get into like all the online sales, I think that they just always have to be running a promotion. And I used to work for an e-commerce company, and it was like, they literally like always ran a promotion. Like, I mean, they sold a bunch of different products, you know, but they always had something. Something was always, you know, that was like part of the whole thing. There was at least one thing that was just like always discounted, you know, and it's almost like you have to, that's like what people are going to shop for, you know, so I don't know.
I'd also think too, the whole like, it no longer just being a single day. I think also came from the fact that people were over shopping Black Friday to the point of like people couldn't keep up with it. So I think they actually were like, oh, we're burning our staff out. Maybe we need to actually make this a little bit longer thing full of deals, because people know we're going to keep the sale up anyway, even if we haven't sold out yet. Like, I don't know.
Oh, they never did it in Canada. It was literally the one day sale. It was, that's it. You're done.
Yeah. Well, you got more days here. If you want to participate in consumerism, you got more days to do it.
Yup.
America. No,
sorry?
I said America.
America. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm still fucking Canadian, so, you know.
I can only name one episode that, okay?
I know, but it's in my contract. I have to point it out.
I guess I could name an episode. I'm still fucking Canadian, but it's not going to be this one. Still fucking... Yeah. Hope to choose it wisely.
No, and I hear like the points about it. I just, it's one of those things that, like I said, is just kind of surprising to me that it's just, it's lost a little bit of its charm to me, I guess is the best way to put it, of, you know, and I feel like, yeah, the online shopping has definitely taken over for that. I feel like the Black Friday and the Boxing Day idea, that happened before COVID. Because I remember going to like Best Buy, for example, with my dad, like when I was a kid, every Boxing Day, we would get up at like 7 o'clock in the frickin' morning to get up and, you know, go to Best Buy and see what the door crashers were and get, you know, I bought a brand new computer for like 50% off because, you know, it was a really good deal. Like, it was like a $2,500 computer that I got for $1,200 because, you know, it's that idea that Boxing Day is all the stuff we didn't sell for Christmas, all the stuff we need to get rid of before the new year, because the new year we're getting, you know, big shiny new stuff. And it was just that, like, yeah, I know consumerism is a hot topic item, but it's just like, I don't know, it kind of is one of those things that just I miss a little bit. Call me crazy.
It's kind of like the ritual yeah. of the whole thing, right? It's a tradition, it's a ritual. People like tradition.
They took it away.
Nostalgia is a thing.
Well, technology is a thing.
Maybe we can have like Black Friday Zero or something soon where it's like Coke Zero and with less cyber shopping. I don't know.
Yeah.
With zero cyber shopping.
Zero cyber shopping. I mean, I feel like they could almost get people to start coming back again, like into the stores by actually doing a lot more door crashers and things like that. But this is actually almost a great segue if we want to jump in, segue right into that first topic I was talking about, shall we?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Transition.
All right. So
we're at a transition here.
I'm going to preface this thing and you guys can jump in, dive in however you want. But the idea of this topic is something that is always like such a deep thought process for me. And it's the idea comes from a book called Everything Bad is Good for You. And it's about this premise that today's pop culture is actually making us smarter. And fun story, this book is actually, I want to say it was written in the 90s, I feel. Nope, that's wrong. 2005. So it's a 20-year-old book. But I feel like it is still to this day relevant. And where I'm going with this is the idea that like how mass media and watching TV shows, watching movies and think and listening to music makes us think, makes us smarter, makes population people think about things a lot differently. And the book actually dives into a little bit of the West Wing, like because West Wing was actually like current when that book was coming out. And you know, people were actually talking about politics on a higher level than before. You think about when CSI came out, people were learning about forensics and crimes and, you know, how to get away with crimes. Like medical dramas were coming out. So people were learning about all this medical stuff. And it's like, even going into a movie these days, it's hard to be surprised because as soon as you go into a movie and, I went and saw Wake Up Dead Man, which is a Knives Out movie, which is a, you know, mystery murder whodunit movie. And as soon as it started, you're thinking right off the bat.
What are you thinking?
Just about the general whodunit.
Okay.
Like you're looking at every tiny little detail about the movie. Like it feels like your brain just doesn't shut off. And I think it's kind of interesting. I don't know.
So you think that because people are watching it more, like as that example specifically, because people are watching it more actively, that they're like more engaged and that
engaged. I don't know if it's more engaged or just that, you know, people are thinking about what the actual premise of what's going on is. Like,
they're just already speculating right from the jump instead of just watching.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like, you want to think about a movie that you kind of, you know, maybe the first whodunit movie. Have you ever seen, I think it's called Inside Man, and now I'm going to quickly research it. Have you ever seen Inside Man?
I have personally never seen Inside Man.
Yeah, Inside Man. So it's a movie about a bank robbery. Good movie. Exactly. Ooh. Thank you, Transkitch. It's a bank robbery movie. It's from 2006. So this was a long time ago, but it's 19 years. Yay. We're old.
I'm like 2006.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's not
actually
old.
Okay. Let me go back even further. Have you seen Ocean's 11?
Was that before 2006? Please don't. Was it?
I want to say 2001. Well, I mean, there's also the Frank Sinatra version, which is older than that. But
this is having me feel really old. But yes, proceed.
Riv, you've seen Ocean's 11, right?
No, I've only seen Ocean's 8.
Oh, ooh. Well, Ocean's 8 is the same premise.
The all ladies it's crew.
The same, yeah. Movie.
Same premise. But yeah. Like, I remember watching Ocean's 11. And you know that scene where they actually break down everything that actually happened behind the scenes that you don't really get to see? First time that you see that movie, like way back in 2001, Riv, you know, Ocean's 8, whenever you saw that, 2018, ooh. You were like, a lot I'm of a people baby. Were sitting there and going, holy shit, this is like, what? You know, it was a full breakdown of what actually happened. But now when that sort of thing happens, it's that premise of, oh, okay, I was wrong. You know, it's not the same value.
What I'm hearing is that many people are not only are they not taught critical thinking in the classroom, they're not taught critical thinking anymore at the movies when they used to be in their media. So where is that supplementational learning of critical thinking coming from? It ain't.
Yeah.
It ain't there.
Well, I feel like the media is teaching us more critical thinking than schools are.
I mean, we're actively defunding education, so that makes sense.
I mean,
unfortunately.
Like I was saying, like, you know, you watch The West Wing and you get a better view of politics, the range of politics, than you would in the classroom, at home, or anywhere else.
The West Wing is such a throwback. It really is.
It is. It's true. Yeah. I definitely see that, like,
it's a good throwback.
The difference in the exposure, and I mean, this is just kind of like even globalization, like the difference in the exposure of just what people are exposed to through so many different means is so different that, yeah, we're absorbing things a lot differently. And yeah, I think it's true that there is a lot of knowledge that is not coming from school now, but yeah, it's still all, I feel like a lot of it is still so biased. Like even what is coming from school, you know, but yeah, I mean, I definitely can see like the idea for this book as far as like pop culture, increasing awareness or having people be smarter just in that general sense, because we're just way less isolated. But I also think that, I don't know, I almost feel like now, like maybe when the book was written, if the book was written, West Wing was on, which I don't know those years.
Well, West Wing came out in 1999.
Yeah. So that was also when like that globalization and like the rise of the web, the World Wide Web and all of that was like full of promise and not, I wouldn't say unproblematic, but not as like it had not shown the, you know, it hadn't been around long enough to cause the other side of like that globalization and the other side of like what, not even, not just, I mean, there is like the pop culture part of it, but also like the tech part of it that that like that same thing that spreads that much awareness, it also is like, I feel like certain things that are just the practical part of it that don't even have anything to do with like what the information is or whether it's biased or not, or like where it's coming from, but just the like the way that the apps run and the way that people are getting info and the way that people are getting news and the way they're watching media, like whether it's entertainment media or whether it's like, you know, music that they're listening to or videos that they're watching or news that they're catching up with or like social media or whatever. So much of it is just so much shorter and so much more like cut up and fast, and like it's gone so far away from long form, especially I feel like in the last, like since that book was written to like now, that I feel like it's like that's true, but like we also have so many, and I know this is like the take is kind of more on pop culture than it is like tech stuff, but I feel like it's like the other thing that has happened is like we also are like, I feel like really in certain ways not working with the way that humans work best in the way that some of these like apps and in the way that some of what we're building and using all the time. Like, I feel like we're also like really kind of, we're really, really, I keep thinking of these like Southern euphemisms are so inherently violent, but you know, we're like shooting ourselves in the foot, you know, it's like, you know.
But I mean, even to that, the book, like I focus on the television show part of the book, but I mean, it does go into even the internet. And I mean, I'll use a quote from the book is that, the internet has challenged our minds in three fundamental and interrelated ways, by being participatory, by forcing users to learn new interfaces, and by creating new channels for social interaction. So just even basing off of what you said, it was showing that growth in 2005 when the internet was, like, let's be honest, in 2005, the internet was still brand new.
Relatively, yeah.
And now our attention span is monetized and our time is commoditized. So,
well, everything. And actually what that quote that you just read, Samara, is like all of that's been monetized. Like all of what you mentioned, you know, has been each of those things. Yeah.
Well, I think that whole monetization has come from the realization from this book of, you know, the idea that, you know, holy crap, people are actually, you know, seeing this and, oh, how do we capitalize on it? Because we live in a capitalist society, as we just discussed.
It's exhausting.
It's so exhausting.
Existing is exhausting. We all just admit that for a second. It's okay that it is. It's just where we're all at, I think. But like existing just on its own, like, existence in a capitalist society is on its own exhausting, let alone if you're not part of a marginalized group of people, it's going to get even worse. It's even more exhausting. I'm tired. It's December and I'm tired, y'all. Capitalism. You know I hate it.
Capitalism. Yep.
Yeah. So box out.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, even the third point in this book, it goes into video games about, you know, the whole structure and how it does attack that whole attention span, and it turns it into, you know, it hits your reward centers in your brain. Like, it's that instant gratification. It's that idea of your reward centers, you know, your dopamine. Yay, I did it.
Microtransactions lighten up those dopamine centers constantly.
I mean, yeah, exactly. And it's, I mean, I don't know if you play video games these days, but it's, you know, it's here, you can buy this game for this price, but it only comes with this. If you want this, you need to pay for it. If you want this, you need to pay for it. You know, back when I was a kid.
Introducing new seasons pass.
Yeah. If when I was a kid, if you bought the Mario game, you got the full Mario game. You didn't get, you know.
You're sounding so old right now.
Wait a minute.
It's okay if we are. It's just, I have to say it. We sound really old right now, yeah, Griping about this stuff. But it is true.
My first Mario game was a piece of plastic. It looked like. Look like this, and you blew on it.
And like a harmonica.
You blew on
it.
Oh, I'm blowing on games. Sure, oh, I missed that.
You couldn't get any spit on it. You don't get spit on it. You just blow, and you give it a couple taps, tap, 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 and you put it in there. And if the machine doesn't work, you smack the machine.
And then you do it all over again.
And you do it again. Sometimes you blow on it with hot air.
Yes!
Sometimes you blow quicker, short bursts.
Did you ever have a, like, Sony PlayStations with the discs, and if the disc got stuck, you used toothpaste on it?
Whoa. I did not.
Oh,
I didn't
to, like,
have...
buff out, to, like, buff out the... Yeah, I did that.
I had friends with PlayStations. Yes! I didn't have PlayStations. I was a Nintendo.
You could do it with DVDs, too. You could do it with CDs, but, like, was there any kind of, like, scratch or, like, warp, you could take toothpaste.
What's a DVD?
You take a Blu-ray, and if you have the scratch, you put some toothpaste on it. Is that still a thing? It like, buffs out...
VHS.
But it would, like, buff it out a little bit. Yeah.
VHS with the little, like, screws you had to take, like, a, you know, screwdriver to get the tape to go back in.
Oh, yeah.
Rewinding movies.
Be kind, please.
Yes.
You get, like, a no-rewind penalty returning something to Blockbuster.
Oh,
like, this is bullshit. They can rewind it themselves.
One of my friends got one of those, like, machines that would rewind the movie for you. Like, that's the entire purpose of the machine was to behind cassette tape. Like, what the fuck?
It only existed so you would avoid getting no rewind fees.
Yep.
Yep.
And yes, my parents had one because they were sick of getting no rewind fees.
We were too poor for it.
Oh.
But no, it going back to this whole book idea and everything else, like, it, you know, it's, oh, honey, you're so young. Yeah. It is such an interesting premise, and we've talked about it a couple of times that it's from 2020 or 2005. We're now 20 years later, and we're still seeing similar things about how media through video games, TV, movies, internet, everything is still changing our cognitive behaviors and how we're thinking, how we're talking, how we discuss, how we can do this podcast over the internet because of the growth of something that happened. You know, it's, you know, you want to learn how to play guitar. You go, you go on the internet, you can learn in 20 minutes. It's like, but of course, you know, there's that whole premise of the internet's bad for you. But is it? Another fun part about the book is it talks about the autism quotient.
Ding, ding, ding. Yes. Can you elaborate on that, please?
Do go on. Please do go on.
I'm really bad at talking about this. But
well, tell us all what it means. I don't know what that means.
The idea is that so it was a research that was done consisting of like 50 questions, and it was to aim to investigate. Yes, I'm reading off the internet on this because I'm not really great at fully describing it without the help, is whether the adult's average intelligence defined as IQ have symptoms of autism spectrum conditions. So basically trying to, you know, put IQ versus AQ, which is autism intelligence. And it kind of also builds into the EQ of it as well, which is emotional quotient is what it is, which is emotional intelligence. Because, you know, intelligence isn't just how smart you are. Intelligence has so many different layers of it. So it's like trying to find out where you sit. And it's kind of playing with the idea of, you know, if your IQ is high, does that mean your EQ is low? Or vice versa, if your EQ is high or your AQ is high, does that mean that your IQ is low? You know, that there's that, you know, almost when you're playing a video, like an RPG, like Dungeons and Dragons, where do your stat points go? Yes, oh, I made a D&D reference.
So, okay. So you're saying intelligence, but like IQ is like intelligence quotient. So that's mm-hmm. like very specific. Now, I understand you also mean like all this other knowledge. But when you mean like, are you saying that you think that the internet or that pop culture or that TV gives you a higher EQ or AQ?
Ooh, that's a tough question. Do I think that?
Question, yes.
No. Do I think that it helps develop your brain in certain ways, building different connections? Yes. But do I think that makes you... Do I think that helps increase your intelligence, your IQ, maybe? Maybe. And then what it does to your AQ. Well, here's my problem with trying to describe it and going deep into this is the fact that the brain is so complicated. And I mean, people say you use 100% of your brain, you use 10% of your brain. Well, we don't actually know how much of our brain we actually use. Because, I mean, or people say, you know, you use 100% of your brain. However, people have also said that Albert Einstein, the smartest person in the world, only used about 20 to 30% of his brain power. So how can these two things be actually true? There is so much that happens in here that we still don't know, that we still don't understand. So, I mean, if we understood it, we would be able to transplant brains. Strength 9, agility 10, con 12, intelligence.
Oh, Trinity for the win. Oh, Trinity. Loyal Trinity. Thank you for that
Thank
joke.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do you want to dive into that?
D&D reference. What I want to dive into is, yeah, just for a second. We got 10 minutes till break. Keeping us honest. 10 minutes till break. It's talk with my hands a lot. I'm aware. I don't think necessarily that the current access to different social media and tools on the internet is a bad thing. I do think that the idea that it is important enough to monetize and it is as thoroughly easy to use to manipulate the masses, like that's what concerns me, is we're monetizing people's attention span and time. We're encouraging them to do, basically invest in side hustles a lot of gig-based economy stuff, usually through viral marketing on these social media little shorts constantly. And we encourage them to make additional shorts to invest in these products so people continue to use them, because they do get that, like, oh, you get a like from it. Does it mean anything? Fucking no, but it makes your brain happy. And that's concerning to me. That's how the internet became what it is. And it's concerning to me that social media in general is very easy to use to manipulate the masses when it comes to voting, when it comes to beliefs and even critical thinking. And it's scary, scary thing. I think that we're doing our best within what we have to work within. And by we, I mean the people that have to actually consume this media and work within it. And we keep getting smarter as we try to outthink the capitalists and the oligarchs. But as we get, it becomes more and more of our lives. But it's not our fault that it came the way it did. It's greed that it's why it became the way that it did. And it's probably not healthy to continue using, but we don't really have another choice. So, Bummer Town, population riv.
No, I think that was a really good insight on it. I loved it.
Smart. Eblon, not smart.
You're smart. You're so smart.
So smart.
You're so things. Pretty and smart.
I know.
Sorry, Jess, did you have a counter?
No. I also think it's I think it is also like it is amazing and terrible.
Yes.
At the same time is what I think. And I definitely think that steering away from pop culture, but more into the tech, internet, social media, apps, piece. And even just all the, like, I think that it's also just part of it is just like our reliance on technology. I think we're too reliant on digital technology. I think that's like such an understatement, and it can be meant in so many different ways. Part of it is just the way that things are. Part of it is just like, you know, when certain things crash now, and you're like, shit, that's like actually a third of all the websites on the internet. Oops. Because everything is
Cloudflare. Oh, no.
Yeah, they're like, oh, who uses Cloudflare? It turns out just everybody.
An AWS outage.
Yeah, AWS outage.
Oh, no, that's everything.
Yeah. Well, what was it that happened earlier this year? The Microsoft outage that crashed
AWS is really bad. Yeah, I mean, AWS is how, like, Amazon doesn't make money on... My understanding is that they don't really make very much money on their parcels, actually. That's not really where they make their money. They make their money on AWS. They have all that distribution, and they utilize it, and they also get a lot of data from it. But they, like, AWS is their moneymaker. And so, that's... Like, that's really problematic. But it's also just like the way that people learn now. And I mean, again, I think it's like, it is amazing now that you can learn guitar online. That's really, really great. But I just think that the tricky part about it is that I think that humans do have a weakness for these devices that produce light, you know? And I think that that's really, really... like our addictions to our phones are really, really problematic. It's not that it's not cool that we have all that connection and everything, but how attached we are to it. And if you try to put it away from yourself and think of how many times you're like thinking about it, and on just the way that, like, I mean, I know from being somebody that grew up when it was very different from that. And like, when I was a kid, there were no cell phones. And then as I got a little bit older, there started to be cell phones. And then eventually I had a cell phone, and I was in college by the time I had a, like, I had a cell phone by the time I was in college. But, you know, but when I was, like when I was a little kid, there were like that. It wasn't a thing.
Did we lose Rip? Or Jess?
I remember my grandmother had the first car phones ever. Did I lose
Jess? You still there?
Hang on a second. Sorry.
Ruh.
My internet blinked out.
You're back.
Oh no.
Okay.
You're talking, about when you had a phone in college.
Yeah. Well, my point really is just that, like, I think that there's just a much different way that we experience life when we are not addicted to our phones. And I remember that. And I still, like, throughout my life, like, because when I first got a phone, I remember there were still times. I mean, when I first got a phone, you'd, like, turn it off, right? You don't ever turn that shit off anymore, you know, or if you do, it's like for a specific reason, or you know what I mean? But it used to be that, like, that's what you did when you were done using it, or like for the night or whatever, like you would actually turn the whole fucking thing off and put it away and like not. And I just think that interacting with like even when I have a lot of, since my work is also screen based, and I sometimes feel the tension in my like head and my eyes around it. And I like need to take a break. So I do somatic exercises and like will focus on something. Like I notice the difference in like just my like facial muscles and like my eyes and like, and basically, and my brain when I am like taking time away. So I really, really try to like build in deliberate time away, you know, and things to do. I like doing things with my hands that will give me a dopamine. So I have alternatives when I want that, and like I'm trying to recognize, like, I want dopamine right now, and like this is actually something I can do. It's like, it doesn't always fucking work, and a lot of times I still just pull out my phone, right? But it's like I'm trying to recognize, like, oh, like there is actually another way that I could like handle this, or like that it would be really, really, it's actually really, really satisfying for me to like build things with my hands. So like that's one of the things that I realized, like, I get a lot of euphoria from that. And like, that is like huge. And it's like way more fun. It's like something totally different. It's very, shit. What is the opposite of digital? Why am I not thinking of it right now? Analog.
Mechanical, analog.
Yeah. Analog. And yeah. I think that once again, goes back to that whole premise of everything bad is actually good for you. You know, it's that once again, that whole idea that, you know, we have the phone. We have a small computer. Put that into perspective. If 30 years ago, back in the 90s, were told that at one point you could have a computer in your pocket, on your wrist. But before we go to the break, I have a fun question to kind of get a little bit of a break and just let us, you know, get a little bit more upbeat again. Going back to that D&D thing, it actually gave me a really cool question to ask everybody. If you could be a D&D class race, what would you be?
Got this locked and loaded.
I
go for it then.
I'm gonna just go first because I'm out. I haven't ever played.
I'm gonna be reviewing your contract again soon, Jess.
Play Magic.
But have you seen any fantasy movies or any tropes or anything?
Yeah.
Okay, so like what would you be?
Any fantasy movie or anything? Well, let me let Riv go. I gotta think about it.
Riv, go first.
Okay. I do play D&D. Say, I did play D&D. I played it many, many years of a very long campaign with my best friend since middle school. Shout out, Bennett, if you're listening. Thank you. You do. And in that particular campaign, I played a ranger slash rogue slash warlock towards the end. Yeah, I collected three towards the end. And I was a long-tooth shifter. So I was a werewolf, essentially. Yeah.
That's so really cool. But is that what you would be if you, like, in real life?
Oh, hell yeah. That's why I chose that.
Okay, cool. Cool. No, that's where I was going with it. I was like,
all those years ago, still checks out. It still works.
Awesome. I love that.
Even pre-transition. I transitioned in-game and everything. It was great. He did a great job of, like, using magic to do, like, a medical transition. It was fun. Yeah, it was sweet of him. D&D is great.
D&D is great. Jess, do you have an answer, or do you want me to go first? I think we lost Jess again, given by the facial expression. That is so great.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
It's a very pensive expression.
Oh, my gosh. Oh. That's the ocean. Okay, I hope you return soon.
Well, I mean, it's probably a good time then to go to break.
Okay, I'll answer real quick. I want to answer because I love this.
Yeah, do it.
I would probably be, real life, I would probably be an Air Genasi rogue. I love Air Genasi because of the fact that, you know, it's the Jin air elemental that is also humanoid. And rogue because, you know, I like being a stealthy bitch.
Nice. Yay. Stealthy bitch.
Stealthy bitch.
Yes. When we return to our next episode, you're going to hear Jess's answer. You might need to walk them through what the options are. Because they haven't played D&D before. We'll catch you next time. For those streaming, stick around. We'll be here on the intermission to fuck around some more. Okay, bye.
All right.